Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another segment of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hunt, your host. Today we're going to play you a show that was previously recorded. We had a show titled The Ku Klux Klan Comes Center Stage. And when we did the show, we realized that the Ku Klux Klan definitely has a different agenda. So tonight we're going to play that show for you again, where you can hear for yourself the fact that the Klan no longer thinks like the Klan used to think. And so we want to share that show with you. We think you'll enjoy it. We think it's most informative. And I learned something, and I think you will learn something as well. And so what we're going to do is play back the show that was previously recorded on May 6th, 2011. I hope you enjoy it because I learned a lot from it, and I think you will too. Here we go.
Oh, that's great. That sounds great. Thank you. Thank you.
everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the all-new KLHD's 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, the Ku Klux Klan Come Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. I must admit, y'all, going into this week's show, I probably could say I knew about enough about the Ku Klux Klan to fill a thimble. Pretty much everything I'd ever heard about them or seen was through a newspaper article or something I'd seen on television. I'd never actually researched the group for myself. So when I went on my quest to find out more information about them, I looked at as many places as I could find information, and I think one website summed it up, and forgive me for not recording who this website was, but this website pretty much, and we're going to have to say the author is unknown because I did not record it, pretty much said what I thought of the Klan. And it was something like this. It says, the Ku Klux Klan is a racist, anti-Semitic movement with a commitment to extreme violence to achieve its goals of racial segregation and white supremacy. Of all the types of right-wing hate groups that exist in the United States, the Klan remain the one with the greatest number of national and local organizations around the country. More than 40 different Klan groups exist, many having multiple chapters of clavers, including a few that boast a presence in a large number of states. There are over 100 different Klan chapters around the country with a combined strength of members and associates that may total around 5,000. After a period of relative calm, the Ku Klux Klan activity spiked noticeably upward in 2006 as Klan groups have attempted to exploit fears in America over gay marriage, perceived assaults on Christianity, crime, and especially immigration. Now, when I read that, I thought, okay, that's what I think, too. But one of my guests says that's not the case. He says the Klan has absolutely changed their agenda. So we're going to let him tell us tonight what is the Klan's agenda today. But before we do, let me remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. So let me introduce them at this time. First, we have Travis Pierce. He's the National Membership Director of the Ku Klux Klan, LLC. Also, we have with us Reverend Johnny Cleary. He's an ex-Imperial Wizard with the Ku Klux Klan, now turned ordained minister with the Church of God in Christ. And he also educates the FBI and law enforcement on the Klan and white supremacy groups. Also, we have with us Mr. Bob Lydia. He is vice president of the Texas State Conference of Branches of the NAACP, and he's also a member of the National Board of Directors of the NAACP. Let me open up their lines. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Center Stage.
Thank you, Carrie. It's great to be here.
Great. Well, let me start with Mr. Pierce. Mr. Pierce, tell us, what is the Klan agenda today?
Well, it's plainly stated on our website at www.KuKluxKlan, you do have to type out the entire word, .bz. Our agenda is to be that organization that takes our issues before the courts and legislatures where real change can take place.
Okay. So, that said, and we talked a little bit about this because after I talked to Mr. Pierce and we had a very pleasant conversation, I must admit, there was no name calling, and I told him there must be some good Klan and some bad Klan because I didn't totally feel that the Klan didn't do all these things that you say they used to do, and you say that they're no longer about violence and public rallies and things like that. Is that correct?
Well, this organization holds no public rallies anywhere. Our rallies, when we have them, are held on private property. They're by invitation only. They're not done for public viewing. We never even had a film crew to one of our events because it's private.
Because it's private, okay. Now, see, and I believe you when you say that maybe your group does not do that, but you are not saying that none of the Klan across the country no longer do these types of things, are you? You're not saying that.
I wouldn't have a clue what other groups do. We don't pay them any attention. We Are acting totally on their own. Most of them are spurious groups. They're not legally incorporated as we are. They're not responsible to anyone. And so they can just do whatever they please. They're just kind of roaming gangs around there, like the one your one guest was with, unincorporated, very small, and had no positive effect on America whatsoever.
Are you speaking of Reverend Jenny Clary? Is that who you're speaking of?
Of course.
Okay, let me open up his phone line. Reverend Jenny Clary, good evening. How are you?
Yes, ma'am. I had one of the largest Ku Klux Klan organizations. It's a little tiny little group of a bunch of vagabond bigots that nobody even knows anything about. I was the leader of the White Knights, which was the fourth largest Ku Klux Klan in the United States, and they even made the movie Mississippi Burning. I succeeded Sam Bowers, who was the head of the White Knights, which was the Imperial Wizard, probably the second most well-known Imperial Wizard in history. We're in almost every state in the country, and it was legally incorporated. And so this guy's a liar right off the bat.
Wow. Okay. So we see that there's different groups of the Klan.
I disagree with all that.
Okay. So my thing is, it seems odd to me that there would be people that would be under one umbrella who don't think the same, but yet profess to be a part of one of the same group, because you would think that your ideologies across the board would be the same.
Well, if the gentleman did not profess to be part of a violent, racist organization, he couldn't fill a church anymore, and he wouldn't make any money. You know, if he claims to be who he says he is, then he took an oath not to reveal certain things. He took an oath before God to keep certain things to himself for the rest of his life. Well, obviously, he couldn't keep an oath to God. His credibility, in my eyes, gone.
Well, he has no credibility because he doesn't even know God. I took an oath to his God. His God is Satan. He does not serve Jesus Christ. He's a dirty, rotten liar to even say that he's a Christian, because for the first thing, when he tries to separate his organization and says, oh, the Ku Klux Klan is not associated with the other clans, it shows how ignorant he is, because if you don't want to associate with the KKK of all these other groups, you don't call yourself Ku Klux Klan. It's bigoted, it's racist, and I did not take an oath to his God. I took an oath to his God, which was Satan at the time, but my God is Jesus Christ, and that's not his God, and he can claim to know Jesus, but he's a false prophet and he's a liar, because 1 John 4:20-21 says, if a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For how can he love God who he has never seen, but yet hate his brother who he has seen? This command we have of him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Now Acts 17:26 says, from one blood God made all nations of people, and the word nations comes from the Greek word ethnos, meaning ethnic and race. That means that God's children comes in all colors, and for him to even suggest that he knows Jesus Christ and to separate himself from other races, he is doing the will of his father, the devil, and the lust of his father he will do, and that's John 4:20-21.
Yeah,
you know, that does bring up a good question, Mr. Travis.
John chapters 44 and 47, I'm sorry.
Mr. Travis, that does bring up a good question. We're going to open the phone line up to Mr. Lydia as well. But I asked one of your other fellow Ku Klux Klan members, are we serving the same God? And I talked to Reverend Thomas Robb, I think his name was, and I asked him, weren't we serving the same God? Because the God that I serve is not the author of confusion. He's the God of love and of peace. And so I would think that anytime any organization causes confusion and they're not coming in love and peace, how can they be representing God? And you all stand on the Bible as your foundation. And you say that people have to be... I'm sorry?
I was just saying, it's a marvelous thing that the gentleman there can call me names and run down my Christianity and try to make me appear evil. But, you know, if I did that, I would be a racist bigot. It would be just awful if I referred to him in anything but a reasonable term. He doesn't know me, doesn't know anything about me, never met me in his life.
I know you, and use my father's name and use the name of Jesus Christ to promote your bigotry. I know you as nothing more than a neo-Nazi bigot.
See?
Yeah. And you know what? And this is the thing. And you know what? He may not be saying it like we would say it, but he's saying what the rest of us are thinking. That how can you not be like labeled a bigot if you believe in separatism? If you believe that white is superior to anything else, how can we look at you as being anything other than that? Though, I mean,
Where on our website did you find that we say we're superior to anyone?
We
don't feel superior to anyone. We're no worse off than anyone, and no less entitled to our history, heritage, and culture.
But that's what the Klan represents, though, right?
Well,
I mean, seriously, you can't say that. I mean, your chapter's been together since 2003, but you really cannot say, Mr. Pierce. I mean, we gotta be forthcoming about what the real. I mean, we're asking about the agenda of the Klan, and we know, and everybody knows that the Klan believes in white supremacy. That the Klan believes that they're superior. They're looking for a pure white race. That would be correct, would it not?
Well, we demand to remain separate. We don't think that's bigoted or evil. We do demand that, you know, in our faith, that God says, be ye separate, be a holy people, be a special people. The Bible even uses the word peculiar. And in today's society, anybody who believes as I do is certainly considered at least peculiar. And, you know, I don't mind that. That's the burden that we bear. All this scripture he's quoting it out of context. John 8:44, Jesus was speaking to Jews, and he told them they were of their father the devil. Didn't have anything to do with anything else, period. So
he said, ignore and exalt our God, hearing God's words. Therefore, he's speaking to the Jewish people. Jesus is a Jew himself.
And you can make an entire doctrine. I know churches are built on John 3:16 alone. Doesn't prove a thing.
What does prove is that John the Revelator saw heaven in Revelation 7:9. He said, it was there I saw a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, every tribe, every language, every people standing before the throne, not in their own separate sections, but before the throne, before the Lamb, lifting palm leaves up in their hand, wearing robes of righteousness and saying, salvation belongs to our God. He's a God for red and yellow, black and white, all precious in God's sight, buddy.
Well, you can sing the song, and that's fine. But, you know, white people don't just live in America. They live on nearly every continent, everywhere, and have from one time or another. You know, his people will come from various continents, various places. That's not necessarily an inclusiatory remark. When Christ told his disciples to go and preach the gospel, in Matthew 10:6, he said, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 15:25, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, wherever they may be. It's kind of like reading a newspaper about a reunion for 19th class of 1954. It may not be you, but you may know somebody about that age. You say, hey, is this you? And he looks at the paper and says, oh, yeah, that's me. Well, the message gets out by taking it wherever the message can be heard.
Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek, nor male nor female, nor slave nor free, but we are all one in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, well, you can keep misreading the Greek, and that's fine. You know, people have been doing that for generations.
One thing I did see on your website, since you say go to your website, I did see something on your website, and it was in a section about do we hate non-whites? And
right.
You went on to say that we work against the agenda of anti-American groups and organizations that seek the destruction of our nation, regardless of the race, creed, or color of their membership. These groups include, but are not limited to, NEA, which is the National Education Association, the RASA, which is a Marxist organization, NAMBLA, which is the North American Man-Boy Love Association, and the NAACP. So why do you all have a problem with the NAACP?
because they're a communist front organization. They have been since their inception. They teach Marxism to their young people. They are one of the leading causes of racial strife because of their attitudes and ideals about race. I guess they read Saul Alinsky's book too many times and can't get beyond it. I don't know.
Mr. Lydia, how would you respond to that?
Well, I don't know him, but he's still a racist, and continuing with that attitude, he will continue to be a racist. The NAACP has helped more people than he could ever think and imagine to help them with their civil rights, to help them do what they need to do. And his organization, Ku Klux Klan, have been the most destructive group across this country.
And continue
to be. The difference is that you don't wear the white sheet anymore and the cone on your head, but you still have people. I just left a town the other day where a white tried to hang a black guy, and you still carry that same fervor that you are the superior being. And you're still a racist. If you wanted to change, you would change the name Ku Klux Klan, and you would come up with something else.
When is the NAACP going to apologize for their actions on the firefighters in Connecticut who had to sue to get their civil rights? And NAACP was against those firefighters.
Thing that you will do is carry anybody to court and And you know why? Because they don't have the money for attorneys. This guy's got less than 50 members in his clan. And he's sitting there talking about hiring attorneys. They can't even afford to do anything, and that's why you haven't seen them in any court cases.
50 members. My goodness. Are you here at my desk? You have the membership list in front of you. You're so all-known.
Yeah.
How did we become an LLC then if we're so small and so unrecognizable? You know
what?
It costs money to file
an
papers.
You only
have to have one person
to sign on. And for an LLC, you can have three people perform an LLC company. So you're sitting there blowing smoke, buddy. How many members do you have?
Just enough. Do what we need to do.
If you just tune in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, the Ku Klux Klan comes center stage. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in chat. And I will try to get to it by the end of the hour. We're going to go to the phone lines and see what the people on the phone lines have to say. We're going to go to area code 318-574. Good evening. You're on center stage. Area code 318-574, you're on center stage.
Yeah, good evening, Karen. How are you and your guest doing?
Good, how are you?
Everything's fine. I was listening to the Klan members in the NAACP make the discussion and make the disclaimer. But I think it goes back further than that. We're talking about now, but when it first started back in 1865 by Major James R. Crow, Captain John Lester, John Kennedy, Calvin Jones, Richard Rood, and Frank O. McCoy, it was that.
Federal and state government now. Is that true?
nonprofit organization, and we do pay everything from the franchise fees that we pay to keep our LLC in good standing to income tax, both state and federal, and the government does recognize this because they expect that tax form on April 14th or else. So they recognize us and understand that we are a legal business, doing a legal business, entitled to do business, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. These are facts that can be checked. There's no, you know, the state puts out a statement of good standing showing that you paid all your taxes. If you haven't, they won't give you a statement of good standing. To the one caller, if I could address just quickly a couple of his questions.
Okay.
We believe everybody in America ought to have a gun. I mean everybody. The Constitution guarantees you the right to protect yourself no matter what creed or color you are. And if you choose to have a gun, own a gun, carry a gun, that is your business and nobody else's. So as far as carrying guns go, that's a right to every natural-born American citizen, and that's what the Constitution says. As to terrorism in the past, well, that is the past. People did things in the past they don't do today. In 1865, Jesse James was still robbing trains. We don't do that today. That's not the way things are done. This is the era of phones and faxes and computers, and we have to be modern, topical, and up-to-date, or we would fall into history scrap pile very quickly. So we can't let that happen either.
I think you told me that when I asked you, what was your, I asked you on the air, as I asked you off the air, are you all part of the Tea Party? Because a lot of your belief system seems a lot like the Tea Party, and your answer to me was what?
Well, absolutely not. Again, on our website, www.KuKluxKlan, type out the entire word, .bz, under news releases, we plainly state that we have no association with the Tea Party. Our members are ordered not to help them or work with them in any way. They have a very narrow vision for America. They want to, well, they're already talking about destroying Medicare. They're talking about collective bargaining, things of this nature. We don't want to be associated with any of that.
Okay.
Well, the reason they don't want to be associated with it is because they're thrown out of tea parties all over America. The Klan's not allowed there. Matter of fact, my wife is the vice chairman of the Ottawa County Republican Party, and we don't allow Klansmen in our meetings. We throw them out. They're not allowed to come anywhere near our meetings, nor are they allowed to participate in any of our gatherings.
And they call me a supremacist.
Well, we don't want you people around us.
Yeah. Thank you.
But I did hear or read something on your site where you said that your group is interested in creating voting blocks. Is that true?
Yes.
Are y'all working toward that?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have membership in almost all the states, maybe not in every town or county or whatever you within the state. But that is part of our membership program is we insist, number one, that all our candidates are screened by a licensed private investigator for criminal backgrounds and that they have a current voter registration card. Those are must to even be considered to be part of this organization.
On your website, and some of it, as good as the conversation was that we had, some of the things that I read on your site were kind of offensive. I think you said, you had a section on there, and I'm not sure what it was under, but it says, if blacks are oppressed in America by the Klan or anyone else, why isn't there a black exodus? My question to you is, where are we supposed to be going to?
I have no idea, but I know that people are sneaking across our borders, stealing into our country, from all over the world. This is the one place they wanted to come to, and I don't think they're rushing to a country where they feel like they're going to be oppressed by anybody. If they're so oppressed, the world is their oyster. They can go anywhere. They can do anything. There's nothing holding them to right here, right now, except the unwillingness to do anything about it. I don't know. If I didn't like it, I would consider going somewhere else. I would consider something else. I thought I was unwanted or oppressed.
Consider going back to one of his European ancestor countries, because the only people who really have a right to America are the indigenous people, which is a Native American Indian. They were there before any white person ever set foot on this continent. So how dare him even suggest that blacks go somewhere else, because blacks were forced to come here to America. They were forced into slavery. And this guy doesn't even know his history. For him to sit there and say, oh, he has no idea, but they're welcome to go somewhere else. How dare him say something like that? That shows what kind of bigot that he really is.
Well, that is the question. Where is it that he would like to see the other people go, and where would he place them? What is it that he wants to take place?
Anybody has to go anywhere. I said, why do they come here if they're oppressed? Why do they stay here if they're oppressed? I didn't say they should go anywhere. I didn't say I wanted them to go anywhere. I just asked the question, why? Gary, I'm going to have to call you back. This phone is dying on me. I'm going to have to call back on the callback number. Is that all right?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay, I'll call you right back. This one's beeping. It's going to give out on me any minute, but I'll be right back with you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. But this doesn't even know. You're sitting there saying, acting like blacks had a choice in coming here. Blacks didn't have a choice to come here. They were kidnapped and forced to come here to America and forced into slavery while his ancestors was beaten and lynched them. So how dare him say that?
I think I read on your site, though, Mr. Pierce, you said that you never enslaved anyone. I think
he is still enslaving people.
However, if I may,
you are a racist, bigot,
Okay. See, they're
and
not going to let me
wipe off the face of this earth.
Well, Mr. Reese, let me ask something, though.
know. Y'all meet up on Mr. Pierce, and I really want him to have an opportunity to tell us who the Klan is. Mr. Pierce, you're not going to try to defend 150-year history and say none of these things ever happened, though, right? That's not what you're doing.
I can't say anything ever happened. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I do know this. In my research, if there was a lynching in a town, a small town, where there was no telegraph, no telephone, several miles to the nearest town, and the populace got drinking and decided they were going to lynch somebody, the sheriff in his report found it very much easier to say it was disguised men who wore hoods who lynched so-and-so because he didn't want to admit he was holding the rope.
Wow.
It's always true.
So now you're... Oh, okay, let me understand. So if I understood you correctly, you're saying that a lot of times there were crimes committed and the Klan were blamed for it when the Klan didn't do it?
Even today, I have people call up and want to purchase a Klan robe. Why? They want to come out and commit a crime and get the Klan blamed for it. These people who burn crosses in people's yards. 80%, at least 80% are kids pulling pranks, and the others are just nut jobs. Even the police know it when they see them because they know how the Klan operates, and they wouldn't burn a cross like that. That just is something we don't do. And so they can tell if it's a phony job right away.
So the Klan do still burn crosses, though, but they only burn certain kind of crosses.
No, we light the cross. We do not burn crosses. Burning the cross has never been our object or goal, as it plainly states on our website. The cross we use here at our national headquarters is made of steel. If we want to burn it, we certainly pick the wrong material. That's not our agenda at all, to burn a cross.
You're denying history. The Ku Klux Klan has burned cross after cross, and when I was associated with them 22 years ago, several Ku Klux Klansmen were arrested for burning crosses on people's lawns, which now carries a 7-year civil rights term, a 7-year prison term for violation of civil rights. But there's a whole history of the Klan burning crosses on black people's lawns and Jewish people's lawns to intimidate them, and this guy's sitting there trying to deny the history of the KKK.
I'm just telling you the way it is today. I'm not speaking of 150 years ago when they didn't have the facilities that we have today to extinguish the cross at the end of the ceremony. I'm not speaking of people who have hateful motives, who do things and use the Klan as a foil for their crimes. I'm just simply saying not everything is totally clear on those issues. There's a lot of room for latitude, and you couldn't prove a person was a Klansman then any more than you can prove it now. You know so little about the Klan of today, that's why you're doing what you're doing. You were doing illegal and stupid things, and it was turn preacher or go to jail, probably.
Oh, really? Well, I happen to work with the FBI, buddy, and I happen to advise law enforcement agencies all over the world, and so for someone who doesn't know anything about the Klan, wow! I guess that I'm not a diversity consultant for the United States Armed Forces either, and I've got an award from the Armed Forces for educating them on hate groups and armed forces. For you to sit there and make an asinine statement that I know nothing about the Klan today, then why am I lecturing at law enforcement and the United States Armed Forces gatherings all over the world?
I'm glad it's you, because the information you're giving them is so false that if we were doing the things we're accused of, we'd get away with it every time.
Well, you don't get away with it, because a lot of you are going to jail, and there's many a Klansman sitting in jail. Dennis and Dan Mahon are sitting in prison right now, fixing to stand trial, and once they are found guilty, they will spend the rest of their lives in prison. So how dare you even say something like that?
Why? Because I attacked your credentials because you didn't graduate in the top 10% of your class or something? That makes you a liar.
Son, I have a college education.
Son,
I graduated.
Son, do you have any idea how old I am? You're just trying to belittle me and make me look small in front of other people. You don't know how old I am. You don't know the first thing about me.
I know you when you that stinking website.
You didn't know me when I served in Vietnam either. Where were you?
Hey, I wasn't even old enough to go to Vietnam, you jerk.
There you go. But he's calling me son, see? He doesn't know anything about me. He's going on stereotypes. He's going on hate language, trying to
presidency was
in
Vietnam.
Excuse people, I suppose.
Okay, if you just
where was
your statement? You're listening to the new KLHD 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic: the Ku Klux Klan. Come center stage. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, post it up in the chat room, and I'll try to get to it by the end of the hour. If you have a question about specifically the Klan of today, because Mr. Pierce tells us it's not the same as what Johnny Clary is saying that it is. And I question that, though, Mr. Pierce, and I don't want to, you know, say that I don't believe you, but I just don't know that I believe that they're as, I don't know, as nice as you're saying they are. I just have a problem with that because I see some very mean people when I see them at those rallies, because still there are some people that do go to rallies in some of these cities, and they do say some pretty mean things, and they are still doing some things. So I just don't know if you're fair to say that the Klan don't do this and the Klan don't do that when they are still out there and they still do have a negative presence in the community. They still are known as a domestic terrorist group. So you're not really acknowledging what the Klan as a whole represents today. I think you're speaking of just your set, and I think you need to be specific when you say that. You're only speaking of your group or your chapter of the Klan, because they are still involved in some things, correct?
Well, there are criminals everywhere. You know, we just had a gentleman on earlier from the new Black Panther Party. Does he stand by the statement made by Shamir Shabazz that in order to not be oppressed, that they were going to have to murder some white babies?
Oh,
will he take responsibility for that statement? You see, this is where you end up. You get somebody who's a talking head, who's got no job, got no future, never had anything in their life, talking to try and build themselves up somehow. I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm talking about the organization and what its goals are. Not to build me up like Mr. Clary, who's got to keep talking about himself, because really that's all he has to talk about. We're not doing that.
Hey, really? Well, I don't see you getting invited to the world's largest churches and speaking at armed forces gatherings and speaking for law enforcement gatherings. I don't see you having crowds of thousands of people coming out and talking up to you and listening to what you have to say, but yet you try to attack and say, oh, I have no credibility. I'm trying to build myself up. I don't need to build myself up now. I'm all over the world speaking right now. I'm calling from Australia where I'm speaking in the nation's largest churches. Where do you get invited to speak at?
BBC Channel 4, London. I've done some telephone interviews with stations in Australia, Germany, Italy. There are people around the world who want to know what we have to say.
Telephone interviews. Where do you get invited to the platforms where crowds of thousands come out to hear you?
You know what? I don't, because they don't know who I am. And I don't want them to know who I am. I want them to know about this organization, what it stands for, and what it's doing. It's not my
plan. Yeah, you don't even use your real name, do you, Mel?
I don't have to use my own name. I don't have to use any name. And you can make any assumptions you want to. Remember, the phone went out, and I had to get one, so I borrowed one. But anyway, you can say whatever you want, and with impunity, I'm sure. You know, you've been accusing me of everything except the Kennedy assassination, and I'm sure you'll get around to that before it's done. I've got an old Globe newspaper that blames the Klan for the sinking of the Titanic. I mean, and the more ridiculous and far out the charge is, the more people are likely to believe it. I have no idea how they assume.
Responsibility. I mean, I took responsibility. I said I was wrong to ever belong to the Klan, but you're not taking responsibility for all these crimes. Every crime that I brought up about the Klan and cross burnings and stuff, you go, oh, that's them other people. That's not the real Klan. We're the only real true Klan that there is, and all that kind of stuff. But you go on and you start saying that all of these people are just active people, wannabe Klan members, when And the truth of the matter is they were proven to be Klan members. Nobody's ever even heard of you. And now all of a sudden you're trying to convince everybody that you're the only Ku Klux Klan and that you're the real Klan and you guys and you distance yourself from everything that's ever happened. It's all those ones that are real Klansmen. But you're refusing to take responsibility for the history of the KKK. And we're not talking 150 years ago. We're talking some of this history. They just murdered in Louisiana. A Ku Klux Klan group murdered a woman because she tried to back out of an initiation ceremony, and that was just 4 years ago. And yet you won't even take responsibility for that. You won't take responsibility for the Klansman that killed James Burton.
Tell the rest of the story, though. But tell the rest of the story, that the gentleman who did that, and I use that term loosely, had been kicked out of every Klan organization in the United States, started his own little group down there, running it by his own little rules, and he was doing what he thought he should be doing, not what he was told by a nationally run organization. Don't include that information because then people might see that there's a difference.
Okay, let's go back.
You created your own Klan group because you don't like Tom Bob or you don't like David Duke or Don Black or one of those guys. So you go off and you start your own Klan group. What's to set you apart from that guy in Louisiana? You both use the name Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, we're about to go back to the phone lines, but before we do, we want to remind you that tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by the African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is also being brought to you by Daily Deposits for the Soul, your daily guide for enriching your soul and improving your mind in just 15 minutes a day. They're located on the web at www.dailydepositsforthesoul.com. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHD 98.9 The Talk, bringing you Center Stage for tonight's topic, the Ku Klux Klan. Come Center Stage. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in the chat room, and I'll try to get to it by the end of the hour. We're going to go to area code 903-708. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Good evening, Mrs. Hines. Thanks for having me on your show. My name is Khufu Kush, and I didn't mean to have a comment. I was just looking at the Ku Klux Klan's originality, and I wondered, did the gentleman know? He says his claim that he don't know very much about the origin of the Ku Klux Klan, although he's supposed to be a Klan member. But I was noticing a book called The Hundred Amazing Facts of the Negro by a scholar named Jay Rogers. That it's the Ku Klux Klan here, well, not the Ku Klux Klan, it's a Seville Negro order in Spain in 1677. Who has excuse me?
No one said anything.
There's some garments being worn here. There's a parade of black people wearing the garments that are just like the Ku Klux Klan garments. And what the scholars here are saying, that the history books show that the system before America was ever even thought of, that these garments was used by blacks as religious garments. And it's got a picture of them in the front row. You would think they were Klan. There's a whole parade of them. It's just like the cone, the cut-out eyes, the whole suit. But there are black people who use them for religious order, priestly order. And so he said that the Klan copied this order a century later here in America. And so that is something I wanted to make mention of. And you can find it in a book called 100 Amazing Facts of Negro by Jay Rogers at the 100 Facts.
Wow.
So, you know, the guy was mentioning earlier that this, what was it, Connecticut or Cincinnati, when they took the fish for the firefighters?
What city was that, Mr. Pierce?
Yeah, I believe that was Connecticut, state of Connecticut.
And, you know, I see where the white firefighters won the lawsuit. It's kind of knocked a pig in Title VII, they said. But you have to understand, those type of tests, you know, most times they're created by white ideologists. And so, you know, most of the time the whites are going to pass those tests. But, you know, because most times, you know, black don't have any decision to make on what's being put out there to be tested or what's being reviewed, who should receive this type of thing. Most times blacks don't, you know, they can pass the, you know, those type of tests that's created by white mindset. Same being that, you know, the black, all black committee had a creative test, I'm sure the whites could have passed that well. And so, you know, there's another thing concerned there. You know, even the school systems, you know, they're talking about how these books are being put together and it's all policed out whites. And the black students are saying that they're not learning because most of the information doesn't contain them, and so it's not interesting. It's all whitewashed. And so the white kids get a better education out of these textbooks than, you know, the blacks are. And so I just want to make mention that. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Cush. Very good point. Let me ask you something, Mr. Pierce. And Mr. Liddy, your phone line is open again. I did, and you keep saying refer to your website, and I did. When your website referred to AIDS, it refers to it as a plague. And your recommendation or your group's recommendation for people who had AIDS was to basically quarantine them and treat them like people treated polio and TB back in the day when they put people in sanitariums. Do you stand by that?
Well, of course. That's how the cure for polio was found. They had these hospitals, and that's where the researchers could get together. They had the most of the afflicted people. They could run tests. They could try different things until they found a cure. And that's what we're looking for, a cure. We're not looking for something to make it worse, and at the same time protecting the public at large so that even accidentally someone isn't infected. This is a common usage of quarantine. It has nothing to do with ignorance. It has to do with loving the people enough to protect them. Unlike our president who opens our borders and lets everybody come in, we're doing the same thing with AIDS. We're just opening the borders and saying, come on in, spread the disease. We're not concentrating our efforts on it. There's no one center or hospital or place where AIDS research is the paramount research. We conquered polio in a relatively short time. And I believe we might do the same with AIDS, given the chance.
You know what? Let me say this. This guy just goes, what he just said is so horrible because people are suffering with the disease called AIDS. And it's very sad instead of helping him. He says, all humanitarian. This is the same thing the Nazis said. Well, let's just quarantine the Jews because they got all these diseases. And then we've seen what happened to the Jews. Well, truthfully, the Ku Klux Klan is child molesters because they are molesting children with the thing called hate. They're teaching children hate, and that's molesting children. So we need to put the Klan in the category of child molesters, and what we should do is we should quarantine the Klan from society.
Tell me, sir, as a former child molester, why aren't you locked up?
I'm not a former child molester.
Wait a minute, you said all Klan were that way. You were implying every Klan was
hate.
That way.
Aren't you, sir? Children hate. Aren't you not teaching the children hate, boy? Are you not teaching
them hate? No, I am not, and I'm not your boy.
If you called
a black person boy, I got news for you. You'd be sued 7 different ways. You don't dare do it, but you try it on me.
Well, there you are. Because you're not a man. A real man would love people of all races, creeds, and colors. You're an immature little boy.
By your definition, you're not what we talked about when we talked about the interview, people calling names. If he's going to continue doing this, there's no reason for me to be here and be insulted.
Do not call him out of his name. Mr. Lydia, are you still there? Mr. Lydia, have I lost this phone right now?
I'm here.
When blacks make up 13% of the population, and we have over half the cases of HIV and AIDS, what do you think that people with HIV and AIDS should be quarantined? How do you respond to that?
I think it goes along with this racist attitude that the Klan has always had, and it is totally wrong. It is against all biblical teachings, and it's against humanity. And the NAACP would never, ever, and many other organizations and Christian groups would never say anything like that, but the Klan would. I'm not surprised that he said it.
It's a wonder we cured polio with that kind of an attitude.
Well, let me I got distracted for a second there. First of all, with HIV and AIDS having an incubation period sometimes of up to 10 years, how do you quarantine it? It's not like you get the measles and you recognize it in a couple of days that you have the measles. You know, AIDS is not that way. So how can you quarantine something that you may not notice for quite some time?
We just didn't only quarantine people. We went in the labs and began to work, scientists and doctors, and everybody began to work together to eradicate polio. It wasn't just quarantine in a secluded place.
And that's what we're asking for. And yes, they were. They had regular TB clinics and so forth that people went to where they were separated from the rest of the population, so that they could be studied, helped, and worked on. All these diseases have an incubation period. I understand that. And we're not going to catch it all doing it that way. But it worked with tuberculosis. It worked with polio. It worked with smallpox. It is a proven system in order to eradicate diseases that are so rampant as AIDS and all the others were. You know, you never hear about it eating scarlet fever anymore. That's
not with AIDS have low immune deficiency, and they will catch something from somebody else. People don't just touch and catch things from people with AIDS. Those, you know, they are more likely to be harmed by us than we are to be harmed by them. And why people get AIDS is a lot of different reasons. It's not because of sexual preference always. There are a lot of different reasons why.
I never gave it.
If I have something, they will more likely catch that from me, getting something from them. Have you ever worked in an AIDS house where they have AIDS patients?
I'm not a doctor. I don't study medicine, and no, I haven't worked around patients.
But to make a statement like that, don't you think that that was unfair, though? Don't you think it was unfair to say to quarantine them, though, really?
I'm afraid that's the answer. That is the answer. There is no
answer. Hatred is a sickness that threatens to destroy society, and this guy is saying he wants to quarantine AIDS people because it's a danger to society. Well, I believe the Ku Klux Klan is a danger to society, and so on that precept of what he's saying, then the Klan should be quarantined, and they should all be put away and locked up in jail if they don't stop this hatred.
Thank you, Mike. Very good. Sieg Heil. The fact is, this is past practice. It's not something we dreamed up. It's been done in America for hundreds of years successfully. We're not bringing up something that's never been tried or never had, or we've had no experience with in the past. So, you know, you can blame us for saying
American. An American would accept people of all races, creeds, and colors. You don't accept them, so therefore, when you say we, you don't speak for America because you do not represent America. You represent a bunch of
hillbillies
up there in your little tiny group trying to put forth hatred, and you're not going to get away with it, buddy, because we will stop you.
See, this is that number three on Alinsky's list, belittle the speaker, and I think it's number three. So you're doing a good job. Hang in there.
You belittle America by being the Ku Klux Klan. You try to belittle America. You give Americans a bad name.
Yeah. That's why the world calls here, wanting our opinions on things, asking for interviews, the whole thing, because that's, you know, just unthinkable, couldn't happen. You know,
okay,
I don't know where you're coming from on all this attacking me, you know. You can attack me all day long, it doesn't bother me any, but it's just a sad fact that that's what you have is personal attacks. You don't have any big picture attacks because, again, we're not talking something radical or new. Quarantine has been used for centuries. It's not something we dreamed up. And all we're saying is we believe this would be the most effective treatment
I don't attack. The thing is, you represent the Ku Klux Klan. I can kill who you are because you won't even give your real name. But the truth of the matter is that I attack the Klan because you're putting forth the message of the Klan. That message is deplorable, and I have dedicated my life to keep the dream of Dr. Martin Luther King alive, where black children, white children, Protestants and Catholics, and Jews and Gentiles can live together, and we are overcoming in this world. And part of overcoming is to stop hate groups. So that's why you're getting attacked, because you're putting a poison called hate across America, and I have dedicated my life to stop hate groups like yours.
Well, let me ask you.
Can I read a quote from Martin Luther King Jr.?
Yes, please.
Okay. This appeared in Newsweek magazine January 19, 1998, on page 62. And it says, that night, King retired to his room at the Willard Hotel. Their FBI bugs reportedly picked up 14 hours of party chatter, the clinking of glasses, and the sounds of illicit sex, including King's cries of, quote, I'm effing for God, end quote, and, quote, I'm not a Negro tonight, end quote.
You're a liar.
Listen, I am. I'm quoting a Newsweek article.
Let me say that King
tell anybody on our site to do those things.
Hold on. King should Oz and the new Black Panther Party does not represent the majority of African Americans, no more than you represent even a fraction of the majority of white Americans.
Well, I'm glad you think you have me all picked out and know exactly what I represent. That's nice of you.
Well, you don't represent the white race. You do not represent the white race.
Keep running
white
down.
Race
okay, go ahead.
The black
hold on.
Sister.
That's fine.
You're in hiding. If you want to talk threat, I know a lot of white people that would burn your honky hide if they had a chance.
There you
no
go.
Name calling. No, no,
you
can't no name calling. If you just tuned in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, the Ku Klux Klan Come Center Stage. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by the African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is also being brought to you by Daily Deposits for the Soul, your daily guide for enriching your soul and improving your mind in just 15 minutes a day. They're located on the web at www.DailyDepositsForTheSoul.com. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390 and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in the chat room, and I'll try to get to it by the end of the hour. Reverend Cleary, let me ask you a question. Since you dispute his version of who the Klan is, tell us what you, when you were the Imperial Wizard for the Klan during your tenure there, tell us what that was like. What did you experience as a Klan member?
Well, it was very miserable. You know, you're taught to hate. And I grew up in a racist society in Bell City, Oklahoma. I was taught to call black people names and to fear black people. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King said men hate one another because they fear one another, and they fear one another because they do not know one another. They do not know one another because they are separated. And so because I lived in a separated, segregated society, I had fear of black people, and that helped put racism in me. My father committed suicide when I was a kid, and my mother sent me away to East L.A., and I grew up out in East L.A. I was being bullied by gangs, and the Ku Klux Klan said, come with us. I met the KKK, and they said, come with us, and we'll protect you. You need a family, and they said, we stand for the word Ku Klux Klan comes from the Greek word kuklus, which means circle, and clan from Scotland, which means family. They said, we stand for circle of family. If you'll come with us, we'll protect you. And so they taught me to hate people that I didn't even know anything about. You know, my problem was with blacks when I was a kid, but then all of a sudden they taught me to hate Jews and what have you. And so during my time in the Klan, I saw them infighting with each other all the time. They was constantly bickering, and they didn't like David Duke, or they didn't like Bill Wilkerson, or they didn't like Tom Metzger, and everybody was always fighting and arguing and raiding each other for memberships. And then Klansmen were committing crimes. They were going to jail. They were burning crosses on people's lawns. They were burning down places. They were bombing places. All this kind of stuff. And they even they turned to armed robbery. They knocked over an armored car in Ukiah, California, and netted $3.2 million, a guy named Bob Matthews and the Silent Brotherhood of the Order, and they distributed the money to different white power groups and the Ku Klux Klan and Louis Beam and the Aryan Nations and stuff and put this money throughout America. And so then these people were putting forth military compound or paramilitary group training and compounds and so on and so forth. And my own girlfriend, she turned out to be an FBI informant. She was working for the FBI, and she was an undercover agent. And she came in and got all the information she could. She fled to the Federal Witness Protection Program. Then people were going to jail left and right because they kept fighting with each other and committing crimes. And finally, I looked at my life, and I thought, man, you know, is this what I want to continue to be around a bunch of people that are either going to end up dead or in jail? And I had to stop and look at my life, and I thought, this is not what I want to continue at. And plus, they were teaching things like the Holocaust never happened, and I knew that was a lie because I seen the proof
living proof of the Holocaust and how 6 million Jews were murdered by white supremacy. And I started, you know, all of these things I was questioning in my mind, and I thought, my gosh, I said, do I want to continue on with this? And so I tried to walk away, and when I did, they all turned on me and go, well, you're a race traitor then. You turned your back on the Klan, and so you were probably FBI all along, just like your girlfriend. I thought, some family this turned out to be. And so, you know, I ended up picking up the Bible and reading the Bible, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. And I got to tell you, when I became a Christian, I found out that good friends come in all colors. And one of my best friends is the Bishop George McKinney, who is one of the top leaders of the Church of God in Christ, who ordained me in the Church of God in Christ. And we have over 6 million members in our organization. And I got to tell you, they made me an honorary African American. And I am absolutely proud of that, because I know that according to Acts 17:26, from one blood God made all nations of people. And I'm proud to know that the God that I serve is the Father of black people, of white people, of brown, yellow, and red people, people from all over the world. And God is spirit and man. It doesn't say white man. It says man was created in God's image. And I'm proud to say today that I am so glad that I'm not that same person I was 22 years ago. I put away childish things, like Apostle Paul said. I put away childish things, and I finally became a man. And a real man loves people of all races, creeds, and colors.
Now, Mr. Pierce, in hearing that, I question that if I listen to Reverend Clary, I think we're talking about going to the same heaven. But when I listen to the Ku Klux Klan and their messages of separatism, I wonder, are we talking about the same God and talking about going to the same heaven?
Yeah. Well, you know, the only thing missing from Mr. Clary's dialogue is violins, of course. He's a poor, troubled youth who fell in with a gang. We're not a gang, by the way. Nowhere on our website or any of our materials do we promise to protect anybody. So he fell in with a wannabe bunch that probably beat him up before he could become an official member. I don't know, and I don't really care. But the fact is, what he's doing is projecting his experience onto everybody else. I fell down on Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th is bad luck. One thing I hope that your listeners will realize and look at very carefully. If I want to know about the Catholic Church, do I go to the Baptist Church and ask them, or do I go to a Catholic and ask them? Do I go to an ex-Catholic priest who became disaffected for whatever reason? He's no longer associated with the church. Do I go to him for advice on the Catholic Church? No. Best evidence says you go to people who are active, who are involved, who know what's going on, who are current, and who aren't making money off the deal. Mr. Clary makes a good salary running around the country doing all these things.
How much money do I make?
Plenty.
The question.
I don't know how much you make. It's none of my business. I just make a living that way.
Because you don't know. You just said, I don't know you. You don't know me. You said I make a good salary. Well, back it up, buddy. Tell everybody how much money I make.
Well, I think that's your job. What I can say is this. I don't get paid for being a Klansman. I've never been paid a dime for my work.
Okay.
All the profits that go to this organization are plowed right back in so that we can hire attorneys and do the things that we need to do. No one is paid a salary or gets any intrinsic benefit from it.
Now, let me ask you something. Something Reverend Clary told me last night, he said 85% of the people that join the Klan join it because of racial prejudice. Would you agree with that?
No, I wouldn't. Matter of fact, a lot of people who call and I interview them the first time say, look, I don't hate people, and we're not asking you to. Oh, well, I thought you had to hate people. Well, that's what men like Clary would like you to believe, that you must hate someone in order to be a Klansman. No, we ask you to love America, to love your own history, heritage, and
what a lie. What a lie.
65% of the people who join the Klan,
like
prejudice, they would never call the KKK in the first place. People that join the Bridge Club that have friends of all races are not going to call the Ku Klux Klan and inquire about membership.
Yeah, well, that's what you think, because you're not answering the phones here. But anyway, we have people from every job and thing in the country, and they're not looking to hate anybody. They're looking for the restoration of the American Republic, a land of laws that apply equally to all citizens without special rights or privileges for anyone. And they're not getting
If you don't agree with them, you put them in a quarantine camp, huh? Like you said you want to do with AIDS people, you want to quarantine them. Rights of all citizens, how is that promoting rights of all citizens?
Same song, different tune, I see. You just can't get away from that. It seems to work for you.
Well, let me mix it up then. Bishop Pierce, tell me what is the Klan's problem with homosexuals?
We don't have, the Klan itself doesn't have a problem, but Christians do.
Okay.
The Bible tells us that they are an abomination before God, that they need to get right with God. They need to get their lives straightened out, and we're not supposed to pat them on the head and say, that's okay, God loves you. He loved the folks at Sodom and Gomorrah, too, but there is a limit.
Okay, so I think per your website, you all don't agree with gays in the military, correct?
Well, we think that would be detrimental to the service. I've served. We feel that it would be detrimental to the good order of the service, yes.
How so?
Well, simple. You can't trust the guy next to you. You don't know what he's doing. Is he watching you or watching the enemy?
So you think because someone... No, I'm sorry. Now let me understand you to say, you think just because someone's homosexual that they're going to be so distracted by someone of the same sex that they can't focus on their job?
Don't we find men who are distracted by women so much they can't do their job?
Well, then why do we... Okay, now, see, that opens up another can of worms. But men and women work beside each other all the time.
That's right. And we work around homosexuals when we don't know they're homosexuals and things all the time because they're not pushing their agenda and they're not anything else. But When you've been on a battlefield for 30 days and haven't seen anybody but your buddy, you know, we don't know how much self-control the individual has, and we believe it would be a distraction. It would be something that would concern our troops in battle, and it's just that simple. If they're concerned, if they have a worry or a doubt, then that drops their effectivity.
Really? Now, you know, and listen, and I'm not promoting gay agendas, trust me, but I think that really was not a fair comment. I really don't think I agree with you because I think that whatever your sexual preference is, if you're somebody that's easily distracted by, you know, other people, you know, if they're, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, then you're going to be distracted whether you're male or female. I don't know if it's fair to say just because you're homosexual, you're going to be more distracted than anybody else.
Why would you be less when you're surrounded by males and nothing else?
But why would you be
more? That would be like saying, this guy's going to work in a room that has nothing but women in it, and it's not going to influence him at all. He's not going to be distracted by any of the female employees around him. It cannot happen.
You know what? This is so ridiculous because if the enemy is firing bullets at you, I don't care if you're heterosexual in a foxhole with a woman next to you or whether you're a homosexual with a man next to you, the last thing you're going to be thinking about is jumping somebody's bones. You're going to be thinking about how to keep from getting hit with those bullets and how to take out the enemy. How ridiculous is this?
That may be true, but there's a lot of times, unfortunately, you've never been under fire. I have a combat infantry badge, hangs on the wall of my office, so I think I'm qualified to speak on this a little bit.
Under fire, I have been in gunfights before, pal.
That makes a difference. Other than facing an armed enemy with mortars, machine guns, things of that nature, your little street fights constitute combat.
I'll put up against yours any day because I don't even believe you started Vietnam. I think
I
won't even tell anybody your real name. And how
I told her my real name. I told her my real name when we started the interview, sir. I don't know where you come up with this just because there was a different name on the caller ID because I had to borrow a phone quick to get back in this conversation.
I didn't.
Nobody that can see the switchboard, so I'm not sure why he says you have a different name, but I'm the only one.
I don't either. It's a smear. Just a tactic, you know.
Pick
on the person, not the issue. That's what a
well,
list
of
rules
we
for radical contain.
On someone because of the color of their skin, which is exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Let's stay there for a second. Okay. When you all say separatism, and you want a pure white race, is that even possible in 2011? How do you plan to accomplish that? And we're living in the United States is a melting pot. So how can you accomplish a pure white race?
First off, the melting pot has got a hole in it. If you look, you have little Vietnam, little Cambodia, little this, little that, all over the country in various states. There are people who are not learning our language. They're not assimilating into American culture. They're just here operating under the rules. I mean, we have people from the Mideast who are still doing honor killings in this country, for crying out loud. We're not assimilating. As a matter of fact, we're dividing more and more and more every day. Even the black community, most parents want their kids in a charter school, not in a public school. They don't want that. It didn't work. It has failed and failed miserably. So they realize that
how would you know
separating
what
they
when you have to take information, how dare you even try to speak for the black community?
Oh, well, just because the black community kills more of its own kind every year than the Tuskegee Institute's figures, that's a traditionally black college. We can't have a traditionally white college, but anyway, it's a traditionally black college. All the figures that they add up for all the lynchings from 1865 to 1972, something like that, every year in America, more blacks kill blacks than the Tuskegee Institute's estimate of all the killings that were done from 1865 to 1972. Every year, not once in a while, every year, the number one cause of death among young black males is young black males, not the Klan.
Okay. If you just tune in, you're listening to the all-new KLHC 98.9 The Talk, bringing you center stage for tonight's topic, the Ku Klux Klan comes center stage. If you're on the phone line and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening via the Internet, dial in at 347-850-8390, and again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, post it up in the chat room, and I'll try to get to it by the end of the hour. But we're down to our last 30 minutes of this broadcast, so if you want to get in on the phone line, you need to get in now. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by the African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is also being brought to you by Daily Deposit for the Soul, your daily guide for enriching your soul and improving your mind in just 15 minutes a day. They're located on the web at www.dailydepositsforthesoul.com. We're going to go to area code 314-381. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you?
You know, I agree with a lot of the points that Ku Klux Klan have, and you know, and if you look at and really blacks themselves do agree with a lot of the points that Ku Klux Klan have, and I can name you quite a few things that was posed upon African Americans by way of liberals. You look at the busing black children out of their neighborhood, for hours on a bus to go to school in a white community. I think that was totally not only foolish, but it was reckless to the children that had to experience that. Forced integration is wrong. You know, the Constitution gives you the right to associate or disassociate with whoever it is that you want to, but we are constantly being reminded that we must integrate, we must get along. Even the definition of racism have changed. Racism, back in the 50s and the 60s, was an economic issue. Now, all of a sudden, it's become a social issue. So, to force yourself upon a people, and you know, that's much of the gist of some of your Vanguard organizations, force yourself upon a people. And don't let the get it wrong. Discrimination is wrong, whether it's discrimination against blacks, of course, or discrimination against whites. But to force yourself upon people for whatever reason is totally, just totally foolish, and the concentration shouldn't even be in that direction. Organizations, if they're private organizations, they shouldn't be made to force anybody to join that don't hold the same views that they have. You know, there's been some errors sometimes when you had white groups of white student bodies wanting to have all white proms. They chose a building off of public school property to have that all white prom. It was ridiculed. And there was nothing wrong with them feeling that way. So, come on now. This, some of the points they have we know are good, and I guess we ridiculed them quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I can agree with what you said. Yes, sir, Reverend Clary.
Yeah, I found it interesting that, you know, again, you asked him, you asked Mr. Paris a direct question about, you know, will we go to the same heaven? And he never did really come out and answer that. And the truth of the matter is the Bible says that all races of people, according to Revelation 7:9, it's not a scripture out of context. It states very simple that John saw heaven. And he said that all nations of people were standing side by side in front of the Lamb, getting along in heaven. So if this guy says that he's a Christian, he didn't, number one, he didn't say that that blacks and whites would be together in heaven. And if he says that he is a Christian, but he doesn't want to be around black people, he believes in separatism or segregation here on earth, then how does he expect to live in heaven with other races of people? And does he even believe that other races of people will be in heaven?
Mr. Pierce?
Fair question. And here's the here's my answer, not the Klan's answer, not anybody else's, my personal view on it. I don't know if there will be multiracial ethnicities in heaven. What I do say is that if there are, I will praise God, because he found a way to make that happen and not violate his word. And if there are none, I will still praise God because he kept his word. So either way, he has that determination. I do not. I do not say who goes to heaven and who goes to hell. Nowhere on our website do we indicate that. That is not our purpose. That is way beyond my pay grade, and I would hope that it's way beyond his. God is the final judge. Let him judge. Let God be God. I don't pretend to do that. Now, the earlier caller, the gentleman,
the last caller,
thankfully, was speaking about, I think, what's called Garveyitism. It was sort of a movement founded by Marcus Garvey, the Back to Africa thing. And this was tried. Malcolm X met with the Klan and the American Nazi Party in order to try to establish a black homeland on this continent. Unfortunately, it didn't come to anything. But, you know, the Nation of Islam felt comfortable meeting with those people. Matter of fact, George Lincoln Rockwell attended services at the temple where Malcolm X preached. So this division, this separation, is not just our idea. It didn't just come from us. It's a very ancient and old idea. In Genesis, it says God set the bounds and habitations of the people for their salvation. He put them in a particular place for a reason. What the reason is, I can't speculate, but he had a reason. We violated that law, if you will, of God's will in amalgamating, just like at the Tower of Babel, where all the people spoke one language. They were a great melting pot. And it said, hey, they got together, and there's nothing they could think of except evil and how to commit evil and how to blaspheme God, and he separated them. Not only by continents, but by their very languages. God is a God of separation. Genesis chapter 1.
Really?
Kind after kind.
Well, in Numbers,
after 12, seed.
In Numbers 12, Moses married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman. Now, when Moses' sister Miriam spoke out against it, God smote her with leprosy, and that was for speaking against it. So you can imagine what God's going to do to you if you don't stop all this nonsense. And also, if you take a look at what the Bible says in the very first Christian church in Acts chapter 2, it says Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Jews and Judeans, Cretans and Arabs, visitors from Rome, Libyans, Cyrenians, people of all races got together, and God poured out his Holy Ghost upon them, and they met daily in the temple, went to each other's homes, and broke bread and fellowship. That was not a God of separation. That was a God of integration.
No, that was apostles of integration, because that's what they had to do. They had to get their message out. The simple fact of the matter goes much, much deeper than that, and believe me, even with 2 hours on a program, there's not time enough to debate you on the biblical principles of which I speak. You know, you have one perspective and I have another, and neither of the twain shall ever meet. I respect that. You're entitled to what you believe. You're entitled to preach it, teach it, put it on billboards. Nobody cares. That is your thing, and you're welcome to do that. We respect.
It's not just my thing. It's a thing that's the majority of opinion of the majority of Christian scholars.
Oh, now you speak for the majority. Always speak for the majority. You never speak for, you know, the 80,000 people you're talking about are the majority, I suppose. So we'll do your church.
I got a denomination of 6 million that believes that.
6 million? That's a familiar number. Anyway.
Well, that's check your facts. Your host of the radio show, she's also a member of Kojic, the same denomination I'm in, and she would attest to the fact that we've got 6 million people in our denomination.
And she'll attest to the fact that I didn't ask her religion, nor have I debased her religion.
Well, let me ask Bob Lydian. Bob Lydian, does segregation hurt or help us? Mr. Lydian. Did I lose him? I think I have somehow lost Bob Lydia on the phone line.
I'm going by the Bible, Carrie. You know, this guy's saying, oh, this is my opinion. It's not my opinion. This is what the Holy Word of God said. And it says also that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And I go by the Word of God. I don't go by man's opinion. I go by God's Word. And God's Word proves integration and not segregation. All people have to do is read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 2, and they will see what I'm talking about is the whole truth and nothing but the truth and not some man's opinion.
Well, let me ask you, Mr. Pierce, because you know, I'll be honest with you, and I want to read from this first, and this was not off of your website, but it was off of a Klan website, and that was the membership application that people are asked to fill out. And basically, I found it very interesting, and I'm sure it's probably similar to yours, and I found this off of the United Southern, Northern and Southern Knights, or whatever they call themselves, Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. And this is how it read, thank you for your interest in joining the United Northern and Southern Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. We are the largest active Klan in the world today and are seeking moral, decent Christian men and women for membership into this great brotherhood. If you feel you can live up to the standards of this noble order, feel free to fill out the application for membership below. And then it goes on to say you must be 18 to apply. And then it said allow 2 weeks for processing. Of course, I didn't bother to fill it out because I just knew I was going to be rejected. But I was very surprised by some of the questions on here. The first question said, are you a native-born white, non-Jewish American citizen? Well, that one didn't surprise me. But the second question did. It said, do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? And I thought, wow, they want to know if I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and this is the KKK application. Wow. Then it went on to say, do you believe in the teachings of the Holy Bible? Third question surprised me as well, because it's amazing to me that an organization that I associate with hate would have a criteria for their membership that I had to be someone who believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and also asked me that I believe in the teachings of the Holy Bible. Because if we are following the teachings of the Holy Bible, and if I do believe in Jesus as being the Son of God, then none of what your organization does lines up with that.
Well, it may not line up with what you've been taught or what you believe. We're entitled to read this Bible for ourselves, interpret it for ourselves, understand it with our understanding. We're not obligated to take anybody's word for what the Bible says, and nobody should. If you take somebody else's word, that's bad. You should never do that. You need to have an understanding for yourself. You may need a little help with some words or a phrase or something, but basically, you should be able to understand that. And you should also understand that what we go by in principle are not the words of the apostles, but the words of Jesus. You see, there's a lot of quotes of Paul, and we know that they were preaching in order to gather people, in order to reach unpreached people. And so their method was a little bit different. But the words of Jesus, what he says is what we generally try to line up on. When he said, "Go not unto the Gentiles, go not unto the Samaritans, but seek ye the lost sheep of the house of Israel," he was surrounded by Jews at that time. So he wasn't talking about Jews. He was sending his disciples somewhere to find a people who could be anywhere in the earth. And he said, those are the ones we're seeking. Those are the ones I came for.
Okay.
Those are his words, not mine.
Really?
I can't misinterpret that because that's what he said.
Before you ascend into heaven, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, you go into first preach the gospel in Jerusalem, then into Judea, then into Samaria, and then into the other parts of the earth to all people. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, it didn't say for God so loved white people only, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's anyone, it doesn't say white people only, believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So therefore, if he's going to talk the words of Jesus commanded the disciples to go to the uttermost parts of the world and reach people of all races, creeds, and colors, and that was proven again in Acts chapter 2 when all people got together from all different races, and then God poured out the promise. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came upon all races of people, period.
Yeah, well, that's a good story, except you forget to explain that John 3:16, where the word world in Greek is cosmos, and that would mean the planet, but in Hebrew or Aramaic, it means geratz, which is a specific area. It is not a global factor, is of a specific area. And that's what he would have said. It's been translated into Greek and then into English, and it looks like the planet Earth, but it's the same word used where Cain is banished, and he says, you know, I'm banished from the Earth. He didn't say Earth. He said Eretz, a specific area or place.
So when you get one part wrong, all the rest follow in
a corrupt way.
We're gonna go back to the phone lines. Mr. Pinsky, I'm gonna come back to you. We're gonna pick up 614 first, and then we're gonna go back to Mr. Pinsky. 614-501. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Everything that they wrote does not line up then with what Jesus said, and you're saying everything that Paul wrote is false. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
I'm not going to
have a caller.
You're interrupting somebody else's time.
I was talking, mister, and I asked you a question, and you can't answer that question. You just trying to give us a Bible lesson.
You're not the host here. It's not your program, in case you didn't notice.
I was invited on the program, and I believe what I have to say is a lot more important than that garbage that you're spewing out, which is nothing but hate-filled dogma.
I've been using hate language. I've been calling people names and attacking their faith.
You deserve to be called names because you're everything.
I've just been attacking them.
We have a caller. We're down to our last 13 minutes of the segment. Area code 614-551. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hi, good evening, Carrie. It's Lady Fatima. How are you?
Hi, Lady Fatima. How are you?
Good. Very good show tonight. I do have a couple of questions because I keep hearing everybody say the name Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. To both of the guests on your show, when you say Jesus, what color do you both think Jesus may have been back in those biblical times? That's just my first question.
Which one of us she asking?
Oh.
She's addressing both of you.
Oh, okay. I believe that Jesus was back then. He would have been, if you look at the color of the skin pigmentation, it would not have been white. Not have been. He was more or less of a brown skin than Jesus.
So Jesus was black. Then how would that, Mr. Pierce, if you were serving a black Jesus, what would that mean for you?
Well, I don't know what it would mean for me because I'm not. I think the scriptures very plainly point out that he was far from being black.
How
we
can
go
mean?
Into a Bible lesson, but nobody wants that right now, I'm sure. But the
well,
fact
wait a minute.
The scriptures
wait
point
a minute,
to
I do.
The caller has another question for you.
I do. I mean, I, and we don't have to, it's not real quick. I mean, just correct me if I'm wrong, where it specifically says that his skin color was of copper and his hair was of wool. How do you explain that? This would be to the Ku Klux Klan then, I guess. How do you explain that particular passage in the Bible when it is definitely referring to Jesus?
Well, it's definitely referring to Jesus in his glorified form. When you saw him as a glorified deity, I'm certain that would be the impression you would get because, you know,
he but you would get that he would be brown.
Hardly follow his glory, I do believe. But the scriptures are very clear. If he was a descendant of Adam, then we go back to Adam, go back to what his name means. It means ruddy complexion, not black. If he was a descendant of King David, King David was described as a ruddy lad.
Well, that would be right. That would be if that was correct. So my second question would be the uniform that the Ku Klux Klan has for over centuries. Do you guys know where you get that dress from?
Absolutely. Every part of it has a historical significance.
Do you know who else looks like that? I'm just asking.
It doesn't matter. We didn't copy.
It would not matter to you if you did some historical research and found that that particular dress happened to be the dress of the Moors that marched through Spain and the Moors being black. That would not make a difference to you that your people did not do their research to find out that they were actually dressed like black men.
You know, they did what they did in 1865, and I'm not going to discount that. You know, information wasn't as available in their day as it was in others. And so they may not have had all the information about every costume. But it's like symbolisms. Every symbol you can imagine has been used somewhere in history by someone. For good or ill, the swastika we think of as a Nazi symbol, yet in India and even among the American Indians, the swastika was far from a symbol of evil. Does that change what the swastika is or make its meaning different? Most people don't know the old meaning and really don't care. So,
Well, I would say that is, one, you know, your people back in that day were very ignorant. So, first of all, I wouldn't expect anything intelligent to come from them. But I do believe that if you say to follow Jesus and all of that, that you would look at your history, just what you're taught, your history, and do research to find out that he was a man of color, he was black, and that your dress actually comes from black men, which would be the Moors from Spain. So, stealing people's heritage in addition to remaining ignorant and not teaching the truth. And I'm going to finish listening, and Carrie, thank you for letting me on.
Thank you, Lady Fatima.
Jesus went to the cross, and he hung on the cross. He did not say, Father, damn these people to all eternity for what they did to me. He said, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And Jesus shed that blood for the remission of all people's sins, no matter what color they are. And I don't care if Jesus is black, white, or purple. I know that he is the Savior who forgave me and that gave me eternal life, and I love him with all my heart, and I am proud to have a relationship with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to ask this one question, and then I'm going back to Mr. asking. Mr. Pierce, if it were the case that Jesus was a black man, would then you not be a Christian anymore?
I don't know, because it's not true. I have biblical evidence that I'm satisfied with that proves that that's not even close to the truth.
And I'm just saying hypothetically.
I'm satisfied of it. But there's no hypothetical. In religion, there is no hypothetical. You believe or you don't. You don't hypothetical your faith.
Okay, gotcha. Mr. Pansky, your line's open.
He won't be able to get into heaven because of all that hatred that he has. He can't sit down next to Martin Luther King and sit down next to Wade Watts and people like that. He won't be able to because of all of his hatred and segregation. If you can't get along with people here on earth, you won't be able to get along with them up in heaven.
Mr. Pansky, your line is back open.
Well,
yeah,
it's a simple fact. You know, I don't know if I'd want to sit next to Martin Luther King. The things I'm finding out about him are more and more suspicious, and he doesn't look like a very righteous man to me. Righteous people don't have their records sealed for 50 years so that you can't check out the content of their character.
Okay, Mr. Pansky.
Yeah, I was just listening to the conversation until he jumped off into the religion, but me, myself, I haven't lost nothing in heaven, really don't care to go there. But any ethnic group on this in this earth has a right to look at their deity and paint it or visualize it in the image of themselves if they so choose so. So I don't see the argument as far as that concerned.
Okay, what was your comment before they went to religion?
And that was quite some time ago.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Pansky, for your comment tonight.
Sure.
So here we are. We're down to our last 6 minutes of the show. And, you know, I don't know that I am convinced that the Klan is totally as nice as Mr. Pierce has told us tonight they are, and they very well may be. But I just don't know if I can believe that because you all now have an affiliation with the Skinheads and the Aryan Nation and some of those other very radical groups. And so does your set of the Klan have those people as members? Are they a part of your group?
Absolutely not, and our website explains why not. We are not national socialists. We have always been about America. America first for Americans first. There's never any compromise to the Nazi message, which is one that's totally opposed to Americanism in all its facets. So it would be ludicrous for us to buddy up with people whose ideology is nearly 180 degrees away from ours. We have people, associates who are disabled people, who are disabled veterans and so forth. Nazis would just kill themselves. I'm sorry, they're just useless eaters. We'll get rid of them. Communism says they're useless eaters. Let's get rid of them. Marxism says they're useless eaters. Get rid of them. We honor our elderly. We honor those who have served our country, and we don't discriminate based on handicaps. We understand, you know.
The KKK LLC leader just said he wants to quarantine AIDS people, and yet he says that they don't discriminate based on handicaps. Isn't that interesting?
I didn't know that AIDS was considered a handicap. I thought it was a disease.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Mr. Pierce. Very quickly, because we have our last 5 minutes. Whatever church you go to, could I visit there?
You possibly could. I don't know if you'd feel right at home. Our services are not much different than in most Protestant churches.
Why would I not feel at home?
Well, because we're going to tell the truth, and it might not reflect well upon your race.
So you mean that when I go to your, if I, you know, was bold enough to come to your church, that I would not feel comfortable because you all would say things in there about black people that would make me feel uncomfortable?
Well, we're going to tell the truth. We're going to say God chose a people from among all the people. The scriptures make that abundant. I believe he chose our race, our people, not because we were supermen or because we were smarter than anybody else, but he had the right to choose and he chose. And so we have an obligation as his servant people to live separately.
Okay. Well, how are you going to see that when you're here in the melting pot, how do you live separately?
Well, we just don't people of other cultures into our homes. We don't go to their homes.
You don't mix and mingle.
We maintain a separation as much as we can. I mean, right now, we have equality by law, not before the law. So the law tells us who can be our friends and who we dare associate with and who we dare not. And so we're constrained, certainly, to maintain relationships that maybe we might not otherwise have. However, that's because that's the way the law is, and we're obeying even those laws that we dislike or we think are outrageous because that's what a good citizen does.
Okay, that's going to have to be the final word. I want to thank my guest tonight, Travis Pierce, and Mr. Bob Lydia. Also a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage Host. And also a reminder, Center Stage has changed her time. We are now on Friday nights from 7 to 9 every week, so we ask that you come every Friday night and join us. Also in closing, I'd like to say again thank you to my guests. I'd like to say to the audience, thank you for joining me tonight. And as I promised you at the beginning of this year, that the best is yet to come, and that's a promise I plan to stand by. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.